Hello, dear listeners, and welcome to a weekly new episode of True Crime Chronicles. As usual, I'm your host Yusra, and in our podcast, we talk about exciting and mysterious true crime cases. The theme of today's podcast is envy. My guests for today's episode are the psychologist Aaron, which is going to explain us the concept of envy and how these can lead to crime. Then we have the detective Sarah and Nia. They are going to describe us the cases in detail. The case we are going to discuss today are the Santa Barbara killings. Last but not least, we have Greta. She's a lawyer who will tell us about the aftermath and legislation about the crimes. Welcome to everyone and thanks for joining. Aaron, what can you tell us about envy? And how is this a motivator for crime?
Thank you, Yusra, for the great introduction, and thanks for having me here. Well, Parrott and Smith define envy as a negative emotion. It occurs when a person lacks another's quality, skill, achievement, or possession, and either desires it or wishes that the other lacked it. Bertrand Russell expands on that and says that envy is one of the most potent causes of unhappiness. So you can already tell that this emotion is really complex. And according to recent research, which is still to be discussed, and there are different opinions on that, there are two subtypes of envy. On one hand, we have benign envy, where suspects recognize others being better off, but this feeling causes them to aspire to be better themselves. And here, emulation happens, they motivate themselves and admire those who are better off and strive to be themselves. On the other hand, we have malicious envy, where suspects want to bring down those who they deem to be better off, and really sometimes at all costs, even their own lives. It is important to note that envy is a natural feeling and almost instinct. Every one of us has this feeling from time to time, and it has even been proven to be existent within mammals. There, within groups of chimps, for example, envy is used as a measurement for justice. My colleague Deval's research leads him to argue that without envy, motivating our interest in making social comparisons, there would be no reason to care about fairness and justice. But sometimes this feeling is twisted. For example, within Elliot Rodger. As we can see in his manifesto, he himself saw himself treated unfairly, and he had a deep misconnection within our values and wanted to pay back those he despised. So whenever you feel envious, you should really check your own feelings. But more to that later.
Thank you for this great and detailed insight on envy. And now we are going to get a little bit more specific and move on to Detective Sarah. She's going to tell us about the Santa Barbara killings and what led to them. Thanks for being here, Detective. Can you tell us how the crimes were conducted and how many people died?
On Friday evening, the 23rd of May 2014, Elliot Rodger killed 6 people and injured 14 others before he killed himself. Elliot conducted his crimes in the community of Isla Vita, which is an area in the Santa Barbara County, close to the University of California, Santa Barbara. Elliot started his series of crimes in his own apartment. He killed his 2 roommates and one of their friends by stabbing them multiple times with a large hunting knife. They were stabbed 15, 25, and 94 times. We later found slash and stab marks on the bed sheets and pillows of the suspect, suggesting that he practiced his stabbing movements beforehand. Several hours after his initial killings, he uploaded a video on YouTube called Retribution. And he also emailed an autobiographical manifesto to multiple people expressing unhappiness, envy, and anger. Shortly after that, Elliot left his apartment. He drove to a sorority house and tried to get inside. When he was unsuccessful in that, he returned to his car, a 2008 Plaid BMW sedan, and shot three women who were walking on the sidewalk, killing two of them. He then drove further into town, continuing to shoot people and to strike others with his car. During a gun battle with deputies near the intersection of El Embarcadero and Sábado Tarde, Elliot was shot in the hip. He drove onto Del Playa Drive and was now closely followed by deputies. Elliot injured a cyclist with his car before he committed suicide by shooting himself in the head while he was still driving, resulting in his vehicle to crash into a parked car before it ultimately came to a stop. We received the first call to our emergency hotlines at 9:27 p.m. The caller reported hearing gunshots, and officers on patrol in the area self-dispatched after hearing the gunshots themselves. By 9:35 p.m., so in a span of 8 minutes, Roger killed three people and injured 14 others before he killed himself. We found 548 rounds of 9mm ammunition that were legally obtained in the vehicle of the suspect. Later on, we conducted a welfare check on Elliot's roommates, and so for that we entered his residency, which is when we found Elliot's first three victims, who unfortunately were brutally murdered.
Wow, I've got goosebumps. Thanks a lot, detective. That is definitely something to process. Now we have Detective Nia on our list. Nia, could you please tell us about the life of Elliot Roger? Do we know what led to these horrific killings? And the most important question, how could this even happen?
He's described to have been a rich kid, who was rather privileged and spoiled by his parents, who divorced when he was young. He was given a car, a spending budget, and his college tuition was paid for. He did not have to worry about money, yet he envied people that were richer, better looking, or in romantic relationships. They were both taller than me, and they kissed each other passionately. They made me feel so inferior and worthless and small, he explained in his manifesto. Elliot, who had been seeing psychiatrists throughout his life, had a mild case of Asperger's syndrome, which made forming friendships or romantic relationships very difficult. His intelligence was above average, which is common for autistic people. This could have unleashed some type of superiority complex, which shows clearly as he called himself divine and the closest thing to a living god. His 141-page long manifesto, which is called My Twisted World, The Story of Elliot Roger, and his now famous YouTube videos, give further insights into his selfish, evil, and narcissistic psyche. Jealousy and envy were prominent themes guiding and consuming his life, which worsened when he started puberty. In his manifesto, he explains that other men's success with women made him feel worthless. It is indeed very alarming that he victimizes himself at all times and does not see any wrong in his thoughts. This shows his narcissistic and envious tendencies, which he was aware of. By nature, I am a very jealous person, he said. He described his murder, punishment, and torture fantasies of popular young people who he calls undeserving. I will torture some of the good-looking people before I kill them, assuming that the good-looking ones had the best sex lives. He planned to act on these desires on what he called the Day of Retribution. These desires, which sadly did not remain fantasies, unleashed feelings of pleasure in Elliot. He spent most of his free time practicing using guns at shooting ranges and he quit college in order to prepare himself for that specific day. He knew that he would not get away with the murders, but he did not care about that. His only desire was the suffering of the popular kids. He only cared about killing as many people as possible.
Finally, we have the lawyer Greta. She is going to answer us the question if we need to implement changes into our legislation to prevent these crimes from happening. And if so, where can we even start?
Thank you, first of all, for having me on this podcast, and also for shifting the focus not only on the horrific crime itself, but also this incredibly important aspect of how do we stop this from happening again and again. Because the sad truth is, and we are probably all aware of this, shootings happening in this country, in the United States, are not the exception to the rule. We have lived through this, and the news cycle that follows it, and the debates, and the protests, way too often to not know what needs to change. So, you asked about the legislation, and that is exactly the right point to start talking about. Because whenever we are discussing gun-induced violence and accidents in this country, the conversation keeps going back inevitably to the Second Amendment, and rightfully so. The 10 amendments are found on the Bill of Rights, and they guarantee the people of America certain freedoms and rights. Now, these amendments were written down in the late 18th century, and are therefore somewhat ancient relics, you could call them. And that is why we absolutely should be talking about their right to exist, because times change, and a really important aspect of democracy is that we constantly reevaluate the laws that form the fundamental basis of our society. So the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, needs to be reevaluated specifically because it doesn't just tackle any abstract ideas of free speech or religion, but because it very practically talks about the act of owning a killing device and how that is allowed by law. And that puts a lot of people potentially at risk. And we have seen what that can lead to in the past and also with this case. So as you can probably imagine, guns in the late 18th century looked a lot different to the kinds of weapons that you can buy today. And with this case in particular, we have a young man who had a massive collection of weaponry that was obtained from his car. And the Second Amendment at this point just cannot act as the pure justification for this happening in this country, for people being able to buy these many guns, to get a hold of this amount of weaponry to endanger and potentially also kill other people. In 2021, over 48,000 people died from gun-related injuries. And take any other country with actual strict gun laws in place, that number is going to be significantly lower. And what is even worse and more striking is that the number I just told you, over 48,000 people, is a record for the United States. It has never been higher before. So what are the good news and what are things that people can do? So the good news is that there are politicians in this country that are giving it their all and that are fighting for these numbers to finally go down. And their propositions are most of the time not even as radical as abolishing the Second Amendment altogether. They talk about more thorough background checks and potentially also raising the age to buy guns, which for certain types of guns is as low as 18 years old. Now, coming on this podcast, it wasn't just my mission to tell you about the horrific state of things and how this crime that we just heard about is only one of many. It is also my responsibility to inform people and use this platform that I've been given that they can help change things. So many people are wondering how they, as an individual with no political power or influence, can make a difference when it comes to implementing more gun control. And let me tell you that there are ways, and your voice will never go fully unheard, especially with the internet nowadays. It is so much easier to get a large following and a platform. If you want change to happen, you need to go and remind politicians that this topic is important to you and that they cannot simply ignore it, because the people that could potentially vote for them actually feel that this is a necessary topic to talk and discuss. So you can write to your congressman or woman and also inform yourself on the debate to be able to take a much more nuanced stance on the issue, rather than just say yes or no when somebody asks you if you are in favor of the Second Amendment.
Thank you for tuning into a weekly new episode of True Crime Chronicles. I hope it was as thrilling for you as it was for me. And a big thanks to all of my guests that joined me today and carried on this exciting true crime case. From the theme of envy, we have unraveled the depths of human emotions and the consequences they can unleash. The stories we shared today serve as a reminder of the complexities of the human psyche and the impact they can have on our lives. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to bringing you more compelling true crime tales next week. Stay tuned!